Good morning or good afternoon, depending on where you are and when you see this. I'm Frank Vaughn. It is June 2nd, 2026, and I have not been replaced. Nothing has happened to me. I am not AI. I am 4 days into my current phase of a long-term fast. I just don't feel like appearing on camera today, but I didn't want to leave it too many more days. Before I communicated with you fine people, the world keeps ticking on, but it is still Groundhog Day. And it's a wild thing to ponder, because there's so much in terms of contradictory information. One thing you can sink your teeth into is that Canada has now entered a technical recession. And there are those who think this is really bad news for the Liberal Party. And maybe it is, because there's a whole segment of the Canadian population that's brainwashed into thinking the Liberals are the saviors of everything. The issue is that Mark Carney promised this recession. He promised a decline in living standards. He promised a decline in the delivery of social services. And he promised everybody would go through belt tightening. Now, I'm not sure what the people who voted for him thought that looked like. But this is probably just the beginning of our troubles. Another interesting thing that's gone under the radar is that Mark Carney has completely flipped his script when it comes to Trump. And it's not the first time. And I don't think that should go without notice. He said before in the past that Trump was a transformational president. You might remember when he went to Washington the first time. He had nothing but praise for Donald Trump and was glad-handing and smiling. And the doting fans, hypnotized by the big red machine as they are, just applauded it and said, that's what you do. He's being a diplomat. He's being a good guy. He's being a good leader. And then he came back to Canada, and it was all elbows up, and it was all delivering messages and speeches about how Canada's relationship with the United States is over. Well, now we are in the midst of renegotiations of the USMCA. Canada has been put on the back burner. Mexico is taking the priorities. That is a field we sowed ourselves that we are now harvesting. But at this crucial moment, Carney invoked making America great again. He sounded very much like a doting fan of MAGA when he talked about it. Said that Canada strong will make America great. This is not language that suggests a dedication to the separation of Canada from the United States economically, which we cannot achieve. We can't. We simply can't achieve it. We live beside each other. Proximity. All the things I've talked about in my videos before. So this is a return to reality. He probably never left reality, as I said, and as many have said. His money, his assets, his investments, they are all in the United States. He built his life in the United States. And a lot of his stock holdings only gain value when there is further integration between Canada and America, not less integration. So none of this should land very surprising. I'm just not sure how good our position is. And our position should be much better now because Trump has quagmired the United States in a war in the Middle East. And here we are. We are somewhere near day 100. I don't know where day 100 would specifically land because I'll tell you honestly, there is no point tracking how long this war has gone on for, because it's still going. It's still going after 24 or 48 hours, or after 4 or 5 days, or after 2 weeks. Remember 2 weeks to flatten Iran? Remember the civilizational ending bombing campaign that was going to transpire that hasn't, because it would result in massive kinetic damage to the Middle East? American foreign policy is an absolute disaster at this moment. And it's sad because it didn't have to be this way. People think that I want America to fail, or that I want Donald Trump and the Republican Party to fail, that I want to empower the Democrats and give them everything that they want. And I don't even know what they want. So how can I want them to get what they want when they don't even define what they want? They just engage in platitudes and outrage. I don't want Trump to fail. I don't want America to fail. I need a strong United States, a strong nationalistic, nationally focused United States. I need that. If I have any desires, if I have a plan for the world, if I have a plan for Canada, it includes a very strong United States as an underpin of that plan, which is why I'm so upset about the situation in the Middle East. And there are, again, what I think are intelligence operations that are out there that are telling you that this is one big master plan. Just sit back and enjoy the show, man. That didn't work out. Didn't work out when we were given that message by Operation Trust, known as Q, back in 2020, when the election was stolen and Biden came back in. You know, nobody's ever been prosecuted for that to the fullest extent of the law. Like, it's not just the Epstein file where nobody has faced any charges, where the cover-up has been complete. And it's disappeared off the radar. There's so many warning signs. And that's really what I'm getting at here. No one went to jail for stealing elections. No one went to jail for Epstein. Maybe somebody went to jail for the election interference, but I don't think so. And even if they did, it's not enough. I genuinely believe the election was rigged. To this day, I watched all those hearings. I spent all the time listening to all the various people give their testimony, and I watched the judicial system. I watched it say that they just wouldn't hear it, that they would allow these hearings, these open-ended hearings, but no judge would take up the cause of protecting U.S. elections. So it was never litigated, and the fact that it was never litigated underpins the talking point that the election was proven fair. It was never litigated. See, I believe all these things. You know, I'm not new here. But I can tell you, the government of Donald Trump and the Republican Party are trying to pass an authorization act for the military, a funding act for the military, which calls for the full integration of Israel and its military aims into the United States in such a way that it could never be removed again. From tech sharing to strategic sharing to intelligence sharing to integrating and combining the forces, this at a time when these are all just pertinent facts. I mean, the bill is there, the section's there. I don't think anybody that voted for Donald Trump voted for this. I mean, maybe some of the neocons did, but the vast majority of MAGA did not vote for an Israeli takeover of the American military. But this is all occurring at a time when the United States has been forced to move their air refueling tankers and a lot of their air assets from their long-held military bases across the Middle East to Ben Gurion Airport. Ben Gurion Airport is a traffic jam right now because it is full of U.S. military hardware. There's an unprecedented deployment of U.S. military assets in Israel right now. And the reason the United States has lost Oman, they've lost Oman. Oman wants to regulate the Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz with Iran. That's already done. The other Gulf monarchies are starting to break with the United States. And a big part of that has been this disastrous war. It's not just that America's in a quagmire. It's that they failed to defend their strategic partners in the Gulf region, and they all suffered damage. Well, the United States used its resources, used billions of dollars of its assets, spent lives, treasure, and resources single-mindedly defending Israel. I don't know if you guys know this, but underneath these monarchies, the monarchies are like riding tigers made of people. The people are not happy. The Arab world is not happy with Israel. These forces are simmering underneath the surface. And this war has brought them out. Now, I just want to read you. Trump last night went on a tirade. If you want to know, at least I think, if you want to know what he's thinking, you just have to look at his Truth Social. But these days, it is so contradictory. The vast majority of posts that he posted last night were his endorsements of various Republican candidates in their various primaries or in their various elections. And there's no doubt that Donald Trump has an ironclad grip on the Republican Party. But the Republican Party does not win elections. The Democrat Party does not win elections. It's the independents. It's the 40% in the middle. They're the ones that swing elections. And those people are the ones that Donald Trump has lost. Not just through the war. It's the effects of the war. It's the price at the pumps. It's inflation. is that the U.S. economy, in spite of, you know, I seen an interesting clip. It was Dave Rubin, and I'll give him full credit. He's an unapologetic gay Zionist, and it's Pride Month, by the way. Canada has entered a technical recession, and we are, as always, consumed with pride flags and pride crosswalks and absolute nonsense. I'm glad I live in Saskatchewan because it is far less prevalent here. You know, it's not that people are bigoted. It's that people are sick of having it shoved down their throat. That's why whenever there's a crosswalk painted anywhere in this province, someone's going to dump paint on it, or they're going to leave skid marks all over it. That's why people don't do it. It's not that people are bigoted. It's that people are sick of having it shoved down their throat, especially at a time when Canada's in a crisis and everybody seems to be sleepwalking towards oblivion. We're in a bad way. Anyway, last night, here's what Trump tweets. Now, remember, over the last several weeks, we've been told the deal is happening now. We're very close. We're very close. We're very close. And then the next day, it's, we're going to bomb them into oblivion. And then the next day, it's, we're close. Weeks and weeks and weeks of Groundhog Day sapping my passion for politics because it's nonsense. Nothing's happening. And the reason nothing's happening is because anything that happens is going to be catastrophic for somebody. So nobody wants to do anything because it's going to be bad no matter what gets done. And eventually that tension's going to snap. But here's what he posts last night after claiming a deal is imminent. We're going to make a deal. I mean, the Iranians, they said that they stopped talking. Now, this the Iranians have done something during this conflict, which is create a reputation for they say something and then they act, right? Unlike the United States, which is waffled, Taco Tuesdays, all that stuff, that reputation is earned. It's not Democrat propaganda. Trump flip-flops like a fish this time around. I don't know why. I don't know what's got into this administration. Some people think he is cognitively in decline. I don't know, man. I don't care. I care about the results. I care about what's happening. The Iranians have developed a reputation for saying something and doing it. Well, they've said, we have stopped talking to the United States. Their media has repeated this claim. State media has repeated this claim that they've stopped talking to the United States. Trump says that's fake news. The other thing the Iranians have said is that if Israel continues, because remember, we got these fake-ass ceasefires. Pardon my French, but we have fake ceasefires. This is my big problem, too. Everything is fake. Every headline, every quotation, every prognostication coming from official sources is as fake as it's ever been. So we're supposed to have a ceasefire in Lebanon. We're supposed to have a ceasefire in Gaza. We're supposed to have a ceasefire in Iran. And we're supposed to have a ceasefire in the Gulf. And there's not even supposed to be a war in the West Bank. But Israeli settlers are seeing to it that there is a battle in the West Bank. But we don't even talk about that. There's so much nonsense going on in that region. And almost none of it should have anything to do with me. Unfortunately, when America is involved, it does involve all of us. We're all subjects to the empire and its decline. We're all subject to the way that this is managed. America is very important. The Trump administration is very important to all of our fates. There's supposed to be all of these ceasefires. Targeted assassinations and indiscriminate killing are happening in Gaza every single day. Ethnic cleansing is continuing in Lebanon. The Gulf region is seeing missile strikes and bombings. And boats being attacked. There is no ceasefire. It's just on a low boil on the back burner. No one's turned the burner off. The temperature's just been turned down for a moment. In the midst of these negotiations. Now, Iran has said that if Israel continues its assault on Lebanon, they will fire a massive amount of force on northern Israel. And so far, they haven't done it. Remember, Trump came out yesterday, folks? He came out just yesterday. I don't even know if anybody's following this or they're just completely tuned out. You're smarter than I am. You're smarter than I am if you've figured out that you need to just tune out. Because even though I'm not producing a lot of video content, I am still dialed in trying to figure it all out. And I got to tell you, it is nonsense. Trump says yesterday, I have talked to Hezbollah. Would be the first U.S. president to do so. I have talked to Hezbollah. I had a conversation with Bibi. Axios, the mouthpiece. It's Axios is a media company. They're the mouthpiece of the Trump administration. They publish a lot of leaks. those leaks aren't leaks. They're Trump administration people calling up Axios and saying, tell the public this. They always use the same journalist. But anyway, Trump says that he had a phone call with Bibi and cursed and swore and cussed him out. And this gave people the hope that Trump was independent of Bibi and he was about to break away. I think they're inseparable. I don't think the circumstances have changed. But he said he talked to Bibi. He said he talked to Hezbollah. He made a Truth Social post and he said, they're going to stop shooting at each other. It's amazing. The exact same time Bibi made a post saying the opposite. Okay? The shooting has not stopped. Hezbollah continues to rain rockets down on Israeli forces in the south and in the north of Israel. And the Israelis continue to bomb Lebanon. Now, the Iranians have promised to do something about it, and they haven't done it yet. So is Iran now entering the fray of saying one thing and doing something else or not doing anything at all? And now Iran says they've stopped talking to the United States over the Lebanon issue, and Trump says that's fake news, that they're still talking every single day. But at any rate, the latest development is Trump tweeting this. If Iran surrenders, admits their navy is gone and resting at the bottom of the sea, and their air force is no longer with us, and if their entire military walks out of Tehran, weapons dropped and hands held high, each shouting, I surrender, while wildly waving the representative white flag, and if their entire remaining leadership signs all necessary documents of surrender and admits their defeat to the great power and force of the magnificent USA, oh my God, it makes me want to vomit. The failing New York Times, the China Street, Wall Street Journal, the corrupt and now irrelevant CNN, and all other members of the fake news media will headline that Iran had a masterful and brilliant victory over the United States of America. It wasn't even close. The Democrats and the media have really lost their way. They've gone absolutely crazy, President DJT. I don't like the New York Times. I don't like CNN. I don't like a lot of what they've done. But reality is reality. And maybe they've got a piece of it right now. Things change, man. And the fact of the matter is, the Americans don't control the Strait of Hormuz. At the very best, it's contested. They can't get their navy within hundreds of miles of it. Tanker traffic is still crawling through, and any tanker traffic that's going through is cooperating far more with the Iranians than they are with the United States. America got its butt handed to it. They bombed a bunch of structures that were empty because the Iranians were ready to be bombed. For all the time and treasure, money and assets that were poured into the bombing campaign of Iran, it yielded net zero results. The regime is still in control. The people are more united than they've ever been. There is no hint. Remember how we were told there was going to be a spontaneous revolution that was going to take it out? The people were just going to rise up? Not only has it not happened, in the face of increasing problems, intentions in Iran, the people are more united than ever. They're still having spontaneous rallies every single day in support of the regime. Because people who are bombed don't tend to love the people dropping the bombs. And maybe it's because we over here in North America, we've never had to feel it. We've never had bombs dropping on our cities. We've never had to feel true lack or pain, any of us alive. Maybe if we did, we'd understand that you don't tend to love the people who are killing you. But this is a very different tone, again, from Donald Trump, the flip-flopping taco president at this point. At any rate, right? We can talk about the back and forth every single day, and we probably will. You know, like I do want to say to those of you out there, to my audience, the people who keep coming back, how meaningful you actually are and how even when I'm not productive, I'm not making videos, I'm thinking about you and I feel like I am letting you down by not being here. But on the flip side, I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste your time with repetition. But May was a very slow month. I think I made 9 or 10 videos the entire month. I usually make one every day or every other day. And I really slowed down and I took a step back, took stock of things, spent a lot of time with my kids. My son and I are now working on electrical circuits, learning how they work. He just turned 7. Doing things with them and really getting into this fast and dialing it in because, you know, I talk about delayed gratification. I talk about self-control. And the fact is, I've got one vice. One last vice that I haven't beat. Most of the vices I've had in my life still have a place in my life. And I know most people will tell you, if I've never really been an alcoholic, but they'll tell you, if you're an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic and you can't gain control of it. I'm not so sure of that. I'm not so sure of that. Sometimes I drink. Most of the times I don't. I've gained control of just about every vice that could have taken me, except for overeating. And it's especially hard when I don't have the ethic or the discipline, though I'm trying to find it, when it comes to working out. I like to meaningfully work. And when I had my farm, I used to do a lot of work and sweat so I could afford to eat a lot, and everything balanced itself out. But now my job is thinking. Now my job is trying to understand the world and communication. It's very different. But at any rate, as I sorted through the month of May, dealing with that and trying not to waste all your time, there's other things going on too, but I'm not really going to talk about those things. It has to do with other people's business and trying to help them out too. But through the month of May, people still continued to show support for the channel. And of course, it's a lot less. You know, it's a volunteer basis. I make content. You guys click the donate link. It's a volunteer thing. I don't even think I plugged in any of the videos in May, because quite honestly, I'm not going to plug for donations. I'm not going to plug the donate link when I'm not being productive in a way that I think is sufficient. But even absent that, you guys still chose to click that link. And not just once, several times. And, you know, I really appreciate the level of support there is for what I'm doing under any circumstances. In a month where clearly I probably shouldn't have made a dollar in my own mind, because I'm not being as productive as I should be. I'm not as outgoing as I should be. People continue to still send messages of encouragement. And some of those messages had financial support tied to them. And so I want you to know how much I appreciate that. And though I don't reach out to each of you individually, and I won't. Sometimes people who donate become friends. Sometimes people who never donate become friends. It happens organically when it happens. It happens because we form a relationship outside the boundaries of what I do. And when it happens, it's awesome. But it has to be organic. That's my rule. It has to be organic. I don't want to run a pay-for-access junket. And it's always going to be that way. So, getting nothing in return except for the videos that I produce already that you get for free, people still choose to click that link. And I've been back at this now for, geez, I don't even want to think how long I've been back at it. It's like 18 months now. 18 months. And there is a dedicated support base for what it is I'm trying to do. And I'm not about to give up on it. I don't want you to think I am, even though there's been gaps between the videos and things have been a little weird for the last month. I don't want you to think that I just see you as numbers or watch hours or clicks or likes or anything of that nature. If you were just that to me, then I'd produce content every single day, even though I'm getting burnt out. And you guys know, if you were watching me through the month of April, you know I was getting burnt out. I really was. It wasn't that I wasn't in tune with what I was saying. It's that I was sick of saying it. Sick of reporting the same thing. I was sick of Groundhog Day. And the whole month of May has been nothing but Groundhog Day. Can you tell me what's actually changed over the course of May? The world is still spiraling towards this crisis. This energy shock. This shock when there isn't sufficient harvest, when yields are down, when prices go up. A shock that is locked in and baked in place and isn't about to change. Even if somehow Trump can get out of the war, he's trying to get out of this war without suffering political damage and economic damage, and it's already too late. There is no exit strategy. that doesn't hurt just about everybody at the table right now. Which is why, in the end, I think they're just going to go back to bombing each other. Right to hell. I think it's going to go right to hell. And I hope I am wrong. Nobody wants it. That's the other thing. Funny thing about warfare, my friends, is that oftentimes nobody involved wants what's going to happen. If they wanted, if America truly believed that they could win the war with bombs, the Trump administration and the generals really believed it, they would have gone all the way already and they would have done it. But they don't believe they can win. The damage to Iran, if they get back to firing and the power plants are bombed and the oil infrastructure is bombed, they will face internal disorder and issues on a scale with their 90 million population that boggles the mind for how they're going to deal with it. They will suffer greatly, which is why they haven't done it. Israel is a small, tiny, little Mediterranean nation with 9 million souls. The Israeli army is getting hammered in Lebanon, and they've made everybody mad at them. And they desperately need the Americans to back them up, because if they don't have the Americans backing them up, they don't have a solution. Nobody wants the war they're creating. And that might be the only hope that they can get out of it. But to get out of it, they all have to take political losses. Netanyahu will go to jail. He's not loved. He's not loved by his own cabinet, as most of the voices in his cabinet are calling for a full destruction of Lebanon and an annexation of a significant portion of South Lebanon. Full ethnic cleansing. I don't know why the Israeli state is the only state in the world that can get away with this, because that's what they're doing. They're ethnically cleansing Gaza. They're ethnically cleansing Lebanon. And the world can't even cobble together a strongly worded diplomatic letter that actually carries any weight. It's pretty wild. And it's not enough for most of the people in the Netanyahu government. And it's certainly not enough in different ways for the opposition. The next elections, once the corruption trial begins again, Netanyahu goes to jail. So he needs the war to survive, even though the war is his undoing. If Trump leaves the Middle East unilaterally, he abandons Israel, and he pulls all U.S. forces out today, which I think is the absolute best thing he could possibly do, he will be destroyed by the neocons in his Republican Party. If he stays, actually, I think if he goes or stays, it's the same result. Coming into the midterms, the Republican Party is in deep trouble. And people say, well, the Democrats are so psycho. Well, sure they are. But that's not what the midterms are all about. The midterms are about enabling or checking the power of the president. The president is not well-liked. The gold standard polls, the ones that are very close to honest, all show him deep underwater and in trouble, especially with independents. To me, it's a clear-cut sign that the midterms are going to be a disaster for the Republican Party. People will call that fake news. I call what they're saying cope. They're coping. And I mean, I could go on, but suffice it to say that there are no good outcomes now. The best solution was to never get involved in the first place. And like, this is why I said it so many times over the last year and a half. And even before when Trump blew up Soleimani, or when the JCPOA was exited, I talked about it back then and how a war with Iran would be the biggest disaster America ever did to itself. It would be the end of the empire. Just like so many empires who have tried to go into that region have died, so too will the American empire. And who's getting stronger? You know, you got these intelligence operations out there, Promethean updates and all this nonsense that'll tell you that China's getting checkmated here. China's getting more powerful by the day. Their position is just enhanced by all of this. Pakistan has emerged as a regional power. And now, Larry Johnson and Pablo Escobar dropped a bomb yesterday. Larry Johnson's former CIA, Pablo Escobar's world-renowned investigative journalist with extensive ties to governments outside of the West. Both of those men claim that Iran has been given a nuclear weapon by a third-party state. I don't know if that's true. But can you imagine the situation if Iran detonates a nuclear bomb? Their litmus and their thinking would be that once they do so, they will grant themselves the same immunity that North Korea has. Because North Korea taught the world that if you achieve nuclear weapons, you will get left alone. All of a sudden, nobody talks about North Korea. Kim just does whatever the hell he wants, man. Sends troops into Russia to fight back the Ukrainian invasion of the Kursk region. It looks like there's North Korean troops stationed in Belarus right now. Nobody talks about them as part of this existential crisis. I don't think anybody knows what to do with them anymore because they have nukes. Well, that provides an example. It provides a lesson. The world can see that. The Iranians can see that. So their thinking might be, just like their thinking was, we'll enrich our uranium up to 60%, and the world will know that we have the capacity to build a weapon if we want. Under the old Ayatollah who said that nuclear weapons were anti-Islamic, that was his fatwa. To his own people, not to the rest of the world. Oh, Takaya, they can lie to you. Well, they're not supposed to lie to their own people. They swore off nuclear weapons and we killed the people. We killed the people. They killed the people. I shouldn't say we. Actually don't have any ownership of this because the Canadian military is not participating in any way. The Americans killed the people who were moderate, and now there's nothing but hardliners left. And that's another myth that comes out of the administration, is that they killed all the hardliners. They absolutely didn't. It's so verifiable. The RGC hasn't been destroyed. It's still in power. These intelligence operations YouTube channels will tell you that the RGC has been neutralized. It's a total fabrication. It's all to hide the real problem, which is that Israel controls American foreign policy almost entirely and controls the U.S. government. One government controlling another. Note I didn't say Jews. I think we need to be specific. If it's true, they detonate a nuclear bomb and their calculation is once they enter the nuclear club, they will have to be reckoned with and dealt with diplomatically. I'm not so sure that that is a good calculation. Israel has the capacity to nuke Tehran. They might just do it unilaterally. The Americans might do it. Remember, Donald Trump has threatened to end their civilization in minutes. There's only one way that they could do that, and that's with nuclear weapons. And I think detonating a nuclear bomb would probably be a great strategic mistake on the part of the Iranians, who right now have a much more effective nuclear bomb, and that is the control of the Strait of Hormuz. The world will only suffer that closure for so long. There isn't much time left. It's a matter of weeks before stockpiles become critically low of remaining oil reserves that are above ground. And the price shock cannot be hidden from the public anymore. And the energy shortage cannot be waylaid in the markets through the efforts of paper trading. At any rate, I've probably gone on long enough. Really, I just wanted to come in, let you guys know I'm thinking about you. Express my sincere gratitude for the support that you show and the faith that you have in me, regardless of whether I'm producing videos every single day or I'm producing videos a couple times a week. This isn't a permanent change. I definitely intend to be more active. But the sun is shining. It's been warm. My children are young. Their minds are beautiful. And if given the choice between investing my time in my family, sometimes, or reporting on Groundhog Day, especially when I'm in the midst of a very intense, intentionally long-term water fasting regime, you know, sometimes the happiness of domestic life, 'cause it's pretty much all I got. That's the other thing I don't think people understand. You know, I got a cousin I talk to. I have a brother I talk to. I have a couple acquaintances that are good people. I've got a couple friends out there that are good people. I don't talk to them all the time. My family is it. And maybe that's every man who's in their 40s who has the blessing of a family, that they become their center. You know, actually, I'll finish with this because I'll just keep talking to you. At 46, you look back on your life. And I think the vast majority of people will realize that life is actually like living many lives all at once. There are distinct chapters of my life that I have lived and are closed now. And life moves on from one chapter to another, and there's people back there that you love and you care about. But there's also best friends that you saw and talked to almost daily. That without a single decision, without a conscious decision, you just stop talking. And 7 years goes by. I got a friend, my brother, who I have no ill will towards. I wish him the best. I think about him all the time. But he's living a different life somewhere else. This was a man I thought was going to be an honorary uncle to my children. I have a picture of him passed out on my couch with my wife pregnant on the other side of the couch, passed out as well, the two of them sleeping. And I had no idea when I took that picture. Late in the evening, I was just sitting there thinking about my future family and happy to have my friend there. I had no idea when I took that picture that would be the last, not only the last picture we took, but that would be the last time he entered my house. We went on and my boy was born, mercifully healthy. And that friend never met my son, let alone my daughter. At any rate, life is like several lives wrapped up in one. In the last 4 years, my life has been changing, or has changed, not been changing, it has changed, in enormous ways. That sometimes you're still kind of reckoning with. But in the midst of all of that, there are some really cool, several thousand of you, I know my subscriber numbers are whatever the hell they are, 34,000, I don't really keep track of it, but I keep track of is how many people actually watch the darn videos. And the fact is, there's a few thousand of you out there who are dedicated viewers and listeners. Do you have any idea how much respect I have for your time? Like, the one metric that sticks in my mind on every video is the watch hours. How many hours are spent watching? And within a day or two of putting out a video, that number climbs into the thousands of hours. And so I can't tell you how many times I've taken that number and I've divided it by 24 to figure out how many days of your lives you've spent watching my content. And the thing I think about more than anything is, am I robbing these people of their lives? I have to make sure that I am not just making content for content's sake. That's what everybody else does. They rob people of their lives as a business model. And it's, in a way, it's fine because people are going to entertain themselves. They're going to scroll through shorts. They're going to do all the things that they do anyway. But I'm obsessed with being deep in the weeds. And the thing that I think about all the time is, am I wasting your time? And I suppose over the month of May, I thought it was more important to focus on my family and focus on my health and say what needed to be said and give all you people a break, hopefully, because at the end of it all, with all this bad news, because that's what it is, it's bad news everywhere. It's worse than 2020, it's worse than any time I've ever reported on. It is bad news all around. And I'll tell you, in this time, whatever it is, you got to focus on your base. You got to focus on the love in your life. You got to focus on the bits of happiness. You got to focus on how you can personally prepare for what is coming. Because I do believe that there is an intense period of change that's coming. I still tend to believe, like I did in 2020, you know, I used to say to people, like, in spite of all these bad headlines, you can create islands of calmness in your own life and let it be the island that the water rushes around, you know, like that was my aim. We did all those farming videos to teach people how to grow food. And I can't, that's one of proudest accomplishments is that Amanda filmed those and I filmed those and I edited them together and made them into something people could watch. And I would have to guess that thousands of raised beds were built because of that. decisions were made to relocate from cities to the countryside because of those videos. People changed their lives as a result of that work. And I still get messages to this day about those times and how they had such a positive impact on people's quality of life and the calmness that that order brought to them. And I would just recommend that now, that you focus on you, that you focus on your surroundings, your home, your community. Put your time into that in any way that you can. Not everybody's going to be out there, social members of social clubs and community clubs and doing all that stuff. There's a role for everybody. Maybe your role is just to make sure the food in the cupboard is plentiful and that you have some kind of backup. But I think that's where the best happiness and hope can be found for you right now, because the world is just chaotic. And it's far more likely than not that it's just going to get more chaotic. I'm Frank Vaughn. God bless all of you, even those of you who don't believe in God. God bless you all the same. Thank you so much for everything, your time especially, that you spend with me. And know that I'm still here and I'm not about to leave you. Cheers.